by Ed Zoll. Talk about the hero doctor who the DOJ was trying to send to prison for life for not poisoning his patients. We'll be very excited to talk to them in a moment, but I do want to spend this first 5 minutes to take more of your calls. We've got some interesting ones here. We've got Hillbilly Mystic in Missouri, who said he's called in before and never gotten on. Now's your chance, Hillbilly Mystic. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for holding. You're on the air, sir.
Harrison, I'm so glad you're back. We love you here in this family. We love Chad Geiser, too, but we call him Chad because I think Laura Logan was on one time, and she said he was a good friend of hers, and she's like, I love Chad Geiser on there, so we call him Chad here in this
Chad
house. Anyway,
Geiser, I like it.
We love to have you back, but, yeah, dude, I want to talk about Armageddon.
Okay.
Because I'm in a lodge. I'm in several lodges, not the Freemasons, but we study God's laws, and one of the laws you can't, like, Google or hear about, because a lot of stuff's been removed from books, so you have to go to books around the 1900s.
Yep.
But there's a law in there. You know, you hear about law of attraction, all that other stuff, but there's a law in there called the Law of Babel. Have you heard of that one?
The Law of Babel?
Yes.
No, I'm familiar with the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, so that's related to that. So the Law of Babel says if you play God in any way, that you're going to, you know, what's going to happen is something like Gomorrah.
Right.
And so there's just so many existential threats we have facing us. I think a lot of the things in politics with Epstein and everything is theater. I mean, I think what's really going on is we have, you know, self-replicating nanobots being sprayed on us.
Mm.
I mean, the reality is horrific what's going on. They've changed the human genome. They're blocking out the sun.
I mean,
you talk about this stuff with people that know. You talk about people don't know, they think you're crazy. But if you talk about the truth with people that know, I mean, it's pretty overwhelming what's really going on in the world.
Yeah.
And, if Trump was America first and all this, he would have gotten out of NATO, UN, you know, Epstein would have been, he had it teed up to drain the swamp with the 14 terabytes of Epstein video.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's not going to drain the swamp.
He's not doing a great job. I would just say the only thing about Armageddon that gets me, because I was thinking about this, especially because I was supposed to hate a host, that pastor, Greg Locke, mm-hmm. who, you know, his support of Israel is all predicated on the belief that we're in the end times and that, you know, this is revelations being fulfilled. And I think that's very prideful. I think that is an act of pride to think we are the generation that is the most important. We are the end generation. What we do will bring Jesus Christ back. And it's like, have some humility. You're probably not. You're probably not, because
hundreds of thousands
of people have thought they were before and they were wrong. And I just say, you know, when it comes to Armageddon, like the end of the world, it's like, but what if we're not? But what if it's not? Then all you're doing is justifying, you know, the mass murder of children, which you never would do otherwise. But somehow, because you think, well, this is the end days. This is Armageddon. This is how it's supposed to happen. I'm so important that it's okay that I'm supporting this because I'm so important, because we're the generation that matters. And it's like, okay, so you're supporting things you would never support otherwise, because you think you're so important and you're the most important generation. That's just strictly pride. And you should think about that. You should have some humility. I'm not saying you, Hillbilly Mystic, because I get where you're coming from. Just when I hear Armageddon or the end of the world, I just think, like, all right, let's act like it's not the end of the world and don't justify things you think are going to bring about the cataclysm to end the age. Thank you very much for the call, Hillbilly Mystic. Folks, if you want to stay on the air, I believe we'll have time after the interview to take more calls. If you want to stay on the line, you're more than welcome. But if you don't want to hold for the next 30 minutes, I don't blame you. I am going to be joined on the other side by Ed Zoll and others to talk about a good move by Pam Bondi. We're going to give Pam Bondi and the DOJ a little pat on the head for dropping this case and setting a very important precedent for how to deal with doctors who refuse to kill their own patients. At least that's how I see it. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue in my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest is Ed Zoll this hour, and he's, well, why don't you introduce yourself, Ed, and your guest there. I just can't see who it is from here.
Yes. Thank you so much, Harrison. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're back, by the way.
I'm always worried
when I don't see you on air for a while. But I'm sure maybe you had a vacation.
He's lit his candles of his vigil for you. So.
That's funny.
Yeah, so you don't have to do that anymore, Ed.
This is Matt Scow. He's the director of Died Suddenly. Is the man I do all the work
course,
with.
Of course. Okay.
Here.
All right, I see you now. Like I see you now on big screen. Yeah, from our last
I'm
interview.
I'm just tag along. You know, when he gets these big invites, he just throws me a bone. So
it's very good to see both of you.
I'll take it.
But you know, while I was out, I was making a list of guests that I wanted, Matt to reach out to when I got back, and Ed Zoll, your name was on the top of my list because I know you guys had a major victory this week for sort of an unexpected victory, right? Tell us about this doctor. What he was being charged with. They were trying to send him to jail for life for injecting people with saline solution, which is just, it doesn't hurt anybody. It just is not the vaccine. So he refused to, give us the whole story. Give us the breakdown of exactly who this doctor is, what he was being charged with, and what's happening now.
So Dr. Kirk Moore is a plastic surgeon in Utah. He was at the height of the pandemic being approached by patients, by friends, by children, parents, of course, given consent, of course, to try to help them, try to return to some normalcy. And initially, it was house calls for COVID, flu, and all the things. He actually believes very similar to you and I on the pandemic and the nature of what we all experienced. But when it came to the mandates and lockdowns, he was faced with the prospect of maybe trying to help in a different way. And what it was he applied to be a provider of the COVID-19 shots, Pfizer, J&J, and Moderna. And he actually signed up as one of the early ones to have it shipped out, both to test it, both to kind of inspect a little bit more, and also to provide fake vaccine cards to adults and to children. Well, the injection is saline.
They weren't printed. Like, he didn't make fake. He used the ones they sent and gave it to them as if he had given them the vaccine. And he didn't, if someone wanted a vaccine, he would administer it. Like, he wasn't saying you have to, but he was a lifeline to people who didn't want to take the poison.
Yeah. So, the DOJ eventually caught wind of this. There was an individual, I'll just say a woman who was super anti-vax. She lived in California, came out to get the vaccine card, returned and said, hey, look, see, I got the vaccine card. And her employer was like, yeah, okay. And they called the Utah Public Health and got this ball rolling on this. But about 2 years later now, the DOJ had brought this massive case. It's actually the biggest case that the District of Utah and in that region was dealing with this summer. It's everyone was paying attention to it in the Department of Justice. And it had already been 1 week into the trial. Now, we heard about it about 2 weeks ago. We came on your show with Chase Geiser while you were out, and I was reporting from the courthouse in Utah, just learning everything you can. You know, when you look into something, you start soaking up and you start really learning a lot of the details, which you're not going to find out until you go on the ground. I got a lot of stuff to share about what the DOJ and the deep state have been doing to people. But the short of this is that that trial and our work to bring influencers, politicians, and information to the public, just a huge uproar, that led to Saturday morning, Pam Bondi calling the district attorney Mr. Vitti, and telling him, you have to stop this trial immediately. He called the judge, he called the defense, and Kirk Moore and his family were partying, to say the least. They were elated and thankful. Of course, the InfoWars and everybody who covered this case and were supporting him.
And they, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, they were trying to send him to jail for life, right? I mean, that was one of the possible outcomes of this, is that he would have died in prison if this had gone through and he'd been convicted.
He's 60. They're trying to send him to 35 years. I mean, yeah, he would have died in prison.
Yeah, so we have to give props to MTG. She reached out to us on our, DM'd us on our private account on Died Suddenly, and she said, she read Ed's article, give me more information, and she was in constant contact, give me his number. And on Friday, she wrote us and said, hey, something big's going to happen. Just wait. And, you know, Senator Lee got involved. It takes us as we the people. This is a victory for we the people. There's no doubt about it. This has never happened where a federal case had gone midstream in the trial and they stopped it. They just had their star witness on. And then the next day, boom. What we did was we rallied the people. People from the area came out. We had a big rally on Friday. His son spoke. And, you know, his son was given 1.5 million views on his speeches. And jurors had to walk by and see that, Ed. And I know, I'm curious to see what would have happened if it would have gone forward. But I like this victory even more because they had mud on their face. Those prosecutors, they probably didn't even care. They just wanted to make a name for themselves. And that's the shame. When we found out about what and how far they went to put this man in jail, undercovers went in there. Ed, you can share what they did with the Indian doctors.
Yeah, so Harrison, I don't want to jump ahead of you, but yeah, there was so much prosecutorial malfeasance. And one of the cases, they actually threatened these doctors that basically were involved with a nonprofit. That if the Dr. Moore didn't take any money, by the way, for anything he did it all for free.
$0.
But if you showed up with an orange, and you showed up in his office, they knew that you were there to get a fake vaccine card. And then he would say, if you do want to donate money, you do want to do something, donate to this nonprofit. It's run by the Gopis. And what the prosecution did, Harrison, is they showed up at the Gopis' house. And they said, you know, you're here on a green card. You know, if you were to get charged, even with a misdemeanor, you're probably going to get deported back to India. You should probably think about that when we send you a summons to testify against Dr. Moore. I mean, this is nasty stuff, Harrison. Done with your tax dollars, done with my tax dollars.
And you know what's even worse and more egregious is the way they handcuffed him to defend himself. He couldn't bring up the motive of why he did this. We couldn't bring up the vials that were shown, and we showed that specific vials, the batch numbers, showed that it killed up to 37 people in one of these batches. Just alone.
That's wild.
How many people did he save by not injecting this into children? And a lot of these were parents who reached out and said, hey, my kid can't go to school, blah, blah, blah. What can you do? And he stepped up.
Right. And obviously the real threat here is that it's like this violates so many actual laws. The HIPAA violation, you know, you have to demand, you know, employers demanding to know what medical procedures their employees have gone through. And the vaccine card itself, to me, is just such an egregious violation of our civil liberties. And it was by standing up for our civil liberties and, you know, not participating in this charade for a vaccine that now everybody acknowledges didn't even help, didn't even stop you from getting the virus in the first place. So, you know, this guy just refused to go along with the very deadly, you know, game of charades that we're playing, the kabuki theater that we're all expected to go along with. He refuses to go along with it, helps people avoid the government insisting that they inject their children with poison, and he gets punished for it. So, you know, that I think is the underlying absurdity of all of this, is the vaccine card itself should have been illegal. Anybody pushing that should be on trial for the rest of their lives. As far as I'm concerned, this guy is a hero. He avoided giving these kids injections, which again is officially acknowledged now to massively increase the risk of myocarditis. Just taking one of the, you know, side effects, myocarditis, you know, you have a 50% chance of dying from it in the first 5 years. And this gives it to a huge number of people, especially young men. And he was refusing to inject that. How did Pam Bondi not know this was going on? That's a concerning aspect to me. It's amazing. It's brilliant that through your actions and, you know, InfoWars and the activists and getting the word out, and Marjorie Taylor Greene bringing this awareness to Pam Bondi, that's an amazing thing. It's a great thing. And you're right to, you know, wear this as a as a victory, you know, show this as a trophy of what we the people can do when we have people in office that actually want to do the right thing. But how did Pam Bondi not know this was happening? How did this get so far with the DOJ to where the trial was already in process before Pam Bondi even realized it was happening and was able to step in and stop it? How many other cases are going on underneath the nose of Pam Bondi that she has no idea about, I wonder?
Well, it's a great question, and I think we discovered part of this while we were out there, Harrison. One, I'm not fully convinced that she didn't know about the case. I know the inference with her public statement is that she learned about it the second that Pam, MTG, you know, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene reached out there. The truth is, and I showed this in our second article, I think it was released on Wednesday, that said specifically that Pam Bondi's office herself and the, you know, the office of the DOJ, that they had ordered this Biden-era case forward and that they'd actually turned down a dismissal. And this was completely correct. I got my hands on several documents, including the submission to the Weaponization Working Group Committee, which has Pam Bondi at the head. It has Harmeet Dhillon and Ed Martin, the pardon attorney, on there. They'd received this this case. They've received all the information. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, actually, I included this in there. He actually had received the email of all the details from the defense team for Dr. Kirkmore. So that this pleading ignorance about not knowing, I don't buy that. What I do buy, however, is that there was a lot of influence and a lot of potential conflicts of interest for Pam Bondi and others at the Department of Justice and even at the Trump White House with Susie Wiles, who worked with Pam Bondi in Florida at the time. Of this kind of lobbying and this coverage of Pfizer, for example. And I detailed in the article, not only had Pam Bondi have a very big conflict of interest in this case, because this really was, to be perfectly frank, it was supposed to be a trial on the safety of the COVID vaccine. Why else would Dr. Kirkmore risk his life, risk his license, and again, do what he did to provide fake vaccine cards and saline shots to children whose parents had given consent? Well, he did this because he really believed that people would die. Incredibly so, by the way, we've learned.
Yeah, but how the government spun it is like he's peddling these little cards in his coat in the dark alley and trying to get rich off $50 or something like that. It was preposterous. It was ridiculous, and it was shameful. It truly was shameful. The FDA just came out and did a video saying this has caused myocarditis in so many people. I'm just so thankful that people stepped up, and when they are called and asked to do something, they did. And this is a great victory, and hopefully this will set precedent, because there's other people out there who was so affected by this. And that's what we do. That's why we do what we do. This is why you do what you do every day. And today we have a victory from it, and we don't get them a lot, but this is a clear and concise victory for us.
Well, that is absolutely amazing. And of course, it is stunning that they wanted to send this guy to jail for 35 years. I mean, especially when you think about the number of violent crimes that we see people get away with on practically a daily basis. Let's just be clear. This guy did not hurt anybody. He didn't trick anybody. He didn't lie to anybody. He didn't say, yeah, I'm giving you the vaccine, and then gave him the saline shot and didn't tell him. No, it was his customers wanted the vaccine card but didn't want the vaccine. He provided that service. I think the way I see this as this confirms you have a right to stand up against tyrannical measures that the government wants to impose on you. They had no right to demand vaccine cards. They had no right to even allow companies to demand vaccine cards. That is an absolute violation of our God-given right to privacy and to decide what we do with our own bodies. And he was able to stand up against that tyranny. And now that's been, you know, confirmed that he was right to stand up against that tyranny. And I'm sure his life has been made hell. I'm sure he's had to sacrifice a lot. But at the end of the day, it's worth it because he did the right thing. He saved people from having to get this shot. He probably saved a lot of lives. And he, you know, stood up against these tyrannical measures that they're trying to impose on us that they only, you know, have been forced to drop because of people like Dr. Moore. If it was up to them, we would all still be wearing masks and getting locked down and getting our 18th booster by this point. But because Americans refused to go along with it, refused to be cowed, we avoided the worst fate of the pandemic. And then, of course, it gets into the actual efficacy of the vaccine, the fact people were dying from it. That's a whole other reason. But hell, even if the vaccine was totally safe and actually worked, you still wouldn't have a right to put it in my arm. So, you know, to me, that is what stands out. What do you think the most important part about this process has been, Ed?
Well, first of all, it's learning you're not powerless. I think that the Department of Justice, and you know this from what InfoWars went through and what you've gone through too, the government can defame you. They can lie about you in indictments. They can feed things to the media, leak things to the media, and you have no defense against it because it's literally your tax dollars, your resources are being used against you to harm you. Yep. The biggest thing I learned from this is that the government and the Biden and Obama and even kind of deep state holdovers in the Department of Justice, they all play by the same playbook. Mm. They intimidate witnesses. They try to rig the case. They try to rig the trial. In this case, for example, the defense was handcuffed.
Yeah, it's about a victory for them. That's really, it turns out, it's like, how can I get that W on my spoke? You know, this I won this. I defeated them. Even when you knew that there's no victim. And to Dr. Moore, you know, he did what his Hippocratic oath led him to do. And this is what we need our doctors in. And hopefully a lot of doctors will wake up, because what this was a trial against our medical complex of follow the rules or we're going to come after you with the big dogs of the federal government. And lawfare is just another weapon. We've gone through that. Alex has gone through that. It bankrupts you to defend yourself, and that's unfortunate. And they wanted him in the plea deal to not get restitution for his legal fees. I mean, this is ridiculous. He had to defend himself, and that costs hundreds of thousands or not millions of dollars. This needs to be fixed as well. Our judicial system is weaponized against people who are innocent. So I'm just so encouraged, though, because we can create change when we get to it.
Well, and Harrison, we covered this actually before the election. There is a fund. It's called the Judgment Fund. Mm-hmm. We covered this with Tony West, remember, the brother-in-law of Kamala Harris. The government has a resource pool. They have it for vaccine injuries too, the VAERS, VAERS fund, the VAERS database. And there's money already put aside for this. The point is that it's, we don't know how to access it. Like, I wouldn't have even known about the Weaponization Working Group Committee. I wouldn't have even understood the power of this or our power to submit cases to it had we not stood with Dr. Moore in his defense. And look, there's a lot of committees like this, a lot of resources that are available to us. One, we shouldn't be giving, you know, the power in this way to the government to just control our lives and to destroy us and these other things. But past this, let's be smart about what currently exists. If we have an aircraft carrier, we know we can deploy it to an area. Why don't we do that?
It's kind of it's kind of placation of, like, they give us these resources like VAERS. You know how disingenuous VAERS is? You know, so many people went to VAERS after they found it out. It's very difficult to find out about VAERS. But when they did, they couldn't. It went low. I had people come up to me. My mother died, and I tried to put in her death, and it wouldn't allow me. So I think of these things
are
placation.
Yeah, so many doctors I've talked to that say, people come in with vaccine injuries, and the other doctors go, well, we don't know that's vaccine injury, so we're not going to report it. You're right. These things are not trustworthy in the slightest, but expand a little bit on the funds you're talking about and how they were used in this case and how they can be used in the future.
Yeah, so in this case specifically, the judgment fund that Tony West set up under Barack Obama to pay out their friends, it paid out almost $1 billion in settlements. The government has some leeway in this case, for example, to pay resources to Dr. Kirkmore and honestly, frankly, to others who are abused in this case. Broadly speaking, the Weaponization Working Group, if you have a case, and I hate to flood your DMs, I apologize ahead of time, Harrison and the InfoWars team, but if you have a case that you feel that it falls in the same breadth, which the government under Barack Obama or Joe Biden was used to destroy you, attack you, destroy your business, and it was done for political reasons. It was done. It was weaponized against you. You have the ability to actually submit to this Weaponization Working Group Committee, and you can submit through Ed Martin, Harmeet Dhillon, even the Attorney General herself. That you can reach out to Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche for this too. Just like the defense team is, you have to go through a lawyer though. And the resources, broadly speaking, on this, it shouldn't just be a small fund that's set aside for vaccine injuries or honestly those that lost all kinds of innocence during the pandemic. I'll just share one example, Harrison. In this case specifically, Chris Anderson, she was a co-defendant for Dr. Kirkmore. When the federal marshals showed up to arrest them, they came in force. They treated them like they were terrorists. And this was partly because the district attorney in this case that took over and was overseeing the trial This man, he made his bones at the Department of Justice, literally prosecuting Al-Qaeda. Like, he was in charge of going after criminals and you know, supposed terrorists at Guantanamo and all these other things. But anyway, this mentality. Her grandkids were present. Her grandkids watched as Granny was literally basically raided by a bunch of armed men in blacked out SUVs and taken away. And the kids are like, is this America?
Right.
My goodness. Well, it has become. It hasn't. The truth tellers in this country have been criminalized. And the biggest thing we have to learn from this is, no, you're not alone. And it is not right that you're treated this way. We have a voice. We have power. We have to use it.
Absolutely. And thank God for the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene to actually take this on and for Pam Bondi to respond to it. You know, I agree that I doubt Pam Bondi was totally oblivious to this, but it does seem like with things like the Epstein situation, you know, maybe she just didn't have the time to focus on this. You know, she got some briefing that was, oh, there's this doctor, he was doing something with vaccines, if you can sign off that. And she's like, yeah, sure, whatever, and just signs off. But it seems like the Trump administration is maybe not focusing on some of the stuff they should be focusing on. So it's up to us to bring their attention to it. Is there anything else you think that we need to be focusing on here? I mean, it's amazing that, you know, Dr. Moore was able to be spared from his having his life destroyed by this. But it makes me wonder, okay, who else is on trial right now that needs attention that you know, Pam Bondi could step in and stop a political persecution of? I mean, who's next on the list, or what comes next for people that are concerned about the likes of Dr. Moore and the way that he was treated?
Well, I think that we actually need a true trial of the COVID vaccine.
Right.
And I say this to say that during the trial, we actually brought the Chris Duggar, the head of the CDC's mRNA vaccine rollout, worked with Operation Warp Speed. He testified. He spoke about some details I'd never heard before. For example, that satellite tracking devices were sent with the packages of vials to homes, to clinics. I think we need a true trial of the vaccine, and specifically what was inside of it, because it's continuing to destroy society. And again, that's what we're involved in. We want to investigate the contents. The call right before we came on was actually speaking about the nanotechnology.
Right.
Now, I think that Anthony Fauci should and could actually. Now we're looking at the AutoPen scandal that he did not receive a credible pardon, and that man 100% knew that the human race and the people in this country were being put through an experiment. They were being used as human guinea pigs. Well, it's time for this man to be put on trial. I witnessed for an entire week, Harrison, the power of a federal courthouse, a federal prosecutorial team. If this same team and the same resources which were levied against Dr. Kirk Moore and have been levied against so many other patriots and heroes in this country, if they were levied for just a moment against people like Dr. Anthony Fauci, my goodness, you think the things we would learn, things we'd be able to explain.
Well, I think that's where we come in. We make films about this that educate the populace. The Dr. Moore had watched one of my films, and he was educated from that. Karen Kingston's work, he was educated by that. It's up to us to educate the people. We've known 100%. This for a long time. Our history books need to be rewritten, and this didn't stop with just this case. 70% of Americans are fully vaccinated with an experimental vaccine.
Yeah, and there's an article
the
right there. I'm sorry to cut you off, Matthew. We're coming to the end of the segment. I want to send people to both watch Died Suddenly. Go to ds2nano.com. That's ds2nano.com to see that. Edward Zoll can be found on X at Real Edward Zoll, and Matthew Scow can be found at Scow Matthew. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for keeping us up to date on this, and congratulations on sparing this doctor's life.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time, not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend $30, you get $40. Automatic discounts on everything. Special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at theyellowshirtstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that. Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight. No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when it was starting, and he was writing to Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones of direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, just some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
I think it's important to remind everyone that the only reason why we're not yet living in a 15-minute city on 23-hour lockdown, wearing masks, eating bugs, getting a cancerous shot in our body every other week, plugged into a hive mind to slave away to the elite, it's because of us. It's because of us who went on the streets at every opportunity since 2020. It's because of the truckers in Canada, the farmers in Europe. It's because of the so-called conspiracy people who blew the lid off this whole anti-human agenda. It's because we said out loud what most of us were thinking, that we're still somewhat free. So before you judge your crazy, racist, misogynist friends, know this. There's nothing in it for us. We take all the heat, we take all the insults, and we deal with the consequences and the censorship and the loss of revenue and the assassination of character so we can make all of us free. And that includes you. So next time you see one of your crazy conspiracy friends, do your future, your family, and yourself a favor and show them some respect.
It's true. And if you didn't fall for it, congratulations. You are one of the few that resisted the most powerful psychological attack humanity has ever faced. Of course, it shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard, but you got to know who to trust. And you got to be able to, really, really believe in what you're doing. I've said it a million times. especially when it comes to vaccines, the pressure that is waged against parents when they have a newborn baby and the hospital just looks at you like, oh, so you want your kid to die? Okay. All right. Now we know. Mark that on your sheet. You want your kid to die. And they got lots of stats that they'll throw at you. And they'll, you know, always give you the worst case scenario. Well, you can avoid the shot, but you want to hear what whooping cough sounds like, you know? And if you don't have the information to combat that, if you don't have like actual sustained knowledge of the reality of the vaccine program, it's going to be really hard to stand up against that level of pressure. You've got to have the information. You got to have faith in the information. So much of what the powers that be do is undermining the faith that you can have in people like Alex Jones or, you know, other truth tellers. Just to make you question, just make you go, you know, better safe. I'll just get the vaccine. I mean, these people are wearing lab coats and, you know, I remember something bad about vaccines, but I don't remember the details exactly. So I'll just go ahead and get it, right? If you don't have that rock solid understanding, to be able to stand up and just go, look, the answer is no. End of discussion. Give me my kid. Give me my kid right now. You don't have that ability to speak out about that. If you don't have the knowledge to back it up, it's really, really hard to avoid some of these traps. I'm going to go out to your phone calls in this final segment. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get yourself some IRC Moss, get yourself some Shilajit, get you, I don't know, what do we even have in stock? I've been gone for a week. What new products do we have? I see a stack of coins here. Are these new coins or should I not even mention these because they haven't been released yet? I don't know. There's something new constantly at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue, of course, the standard 50% off with that. Oh, yeah. Power Plant and Methyl Drive. We got two new products. Cellular Energy Bundle, 10% off. The Ultimate Methylation Power Combo. Telling you folks, you leave for a week, you come back, you don't even recognize the store because there's always new products and they're always fantastic. I'd say there's not been one product from the AlexJonesStore.com that I have not appreciated and enjoyed and use regularly. The AlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Keep us on the air in the fight and giving you the information you need to resist the psychological operations that are threatening to, frankly, kill us all. And just on that note, that video of the guy saying, you know, thank a conspiracy theorist, show some respect for your tinfoil hat wearing friends. The left has a different lesson they want you to learn. Oh, Trump is live. Trump is live with the head of NATO right now. Let's go to that. Apologies to our callers. I do want to see Trump live with NATO. We'll try to go to your calls here still, but let's watch.
The U.S. has decided to indeed massively supply Ukraine with what is necessary through NATO. Europeans 100% paying for that. And what we have been doing over the last couple of days is talking with countries, and I just mentioned the ones who in a first wave immediately said, we want to chip in. And then you are really talking about big numbers. Take Germany visiting today, they are really talking about big numbers.
I will say that I spoke with Germany, spoke with most of the larger countries, and they are really enthusiastic about this. They want to, and they, you know, they're willing to go very far. I will tell you, you know, as per your question, how far would I go? They want to go very far. They don't want this to happen. That's why I think from Putin's standpoint, it would really be good. He gets the country's economy is doing very poorly, yes, and he's got to get his economy back. He's got to save his economy. He could save his country in a sense, but the economy can destroy. Destroyed a lot of countries over the years. He wants to get that economy back. And, you know, he's got a great country for trading and other things. If they could use the assets instead of war, he's got some tremendous potential. That's what I would say.
How did you deliver this news to Putin, sir?
Say?
How did you tell Putin this is happening?
I speak to him a lot about getting this thing done. And I always hang up and say, well, that was a nice phone call. And then missiles launched into Kiev or some other city, and I said, strange. And after that happens three or four times, you say, the talk doesn't mean anything. My conversations with him are always very pleasant. I say, isn't that a very lovely conversation? And then the missiles go off that night. I go home, I tell the First Lady, you know, I spoke to Vladimir today. We had a wonderful conversation. She said, oh, really? Another city was just hit. So it's like, look, he's, I don't want to say he's an assassin, but he's a tough guy. It's been proven over the years. He's fooled a lot of people. He fooled Bush. He fooled a lot of people. He fooled Clinton, Bush, Obama, Biden. He didn't fool me. But what I do say is that at a certain point, you know, ultimately talk doesn't talk. It's got to be action. It's got to be results. And I hope he does it. It's potentially such a great country to be wasting so many people on this and the money. And look at what's happened to his economy. Look at what's happened. So,
and with the threat in 50 days,
yeah,
the economy will be hit very hard.
I mean, look, I hope he's going to do it. He knows the deal. He knows what a fair deal is. If there is such a thing as a fair deal, there's no winners here. This is a loser. This is a loser. And I dealt with him from the beginning. And it wouldn't have happened, but I will say it was, Ukraine was the apple of his eye. We talk about it. It was the apple of his eye, but it wasn't going to happen. And he understood that. It wasn't going to happen. And then I noticed, after I was out, I noticed soldiers forming at the border.
Yeah.
And then I heard horrible, stupid things being said from the other side. And I said, they're really handling it very, very wrong. It's a shame. Yeah.
Can I say one thing? And that is about President Trump, because you came in office in January. On the 12th of February, you had your first phone call with Putin. I think you did exactly what I hope you would do. That is breaking the deadlock, starting the conversation, because you have to test him. I know Putin very well from the days when I was prime minister. In the Netherlands, you have to test him. And you did this. And you really gave him a chance to be serious, to get to the table, to start negotiations. Steve Witkoff, Marco Rubio, we all try to help you. But you've now come to a point where you say, well, hey.
We actually thought we had probably four times a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you were called and you said, yeah, this looks good.
Yeah.
And then the deal wouldn't happen because bombs would be thrown out that night. And you'd say, we're not making any deals. It was like.
But you breaking the deadlock was crucial because you had to start that process. And you were the only one who was able to do that.
I think we'll get it done.
Do you think he's reasonable enough to take
over? So, this is.
Yeah, I think we're going to get it done.
The chairman of the Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, former PM of the Netherlands. Clearly, Trump is just fully in favor of the Ukraine war now. Again, this is such a bizarre shift for Trump, who seemed like he was, you know, on the cusp of making a peace deal before he was even in office. And yet it's been almost 7 months at this point, and we are seemingly farther away from peace altogether. Might that be because Russia is in fact winning? I mean, this is war. You can have all the nice conversations you want on the phone, but if Putin doesn't have a reason to stop waging the war, he's not going to stop waging the war. And why would he? Basically, Trump is asking the guy who has the advantage and is winning the war, hey, stop winning the war for a little bit. You know, we'll get peace. It's like, no, Russia just has no incentive to stop waging this war whatsoever because they're winning and because it's bankrupting us, because we're having to like stop shipping things to Ukraine because we're depleting our own stockpiles. And clearly, NATO is still very interested in going to direct war with Russia. Again, the saber rattling that's gone on in the last week or so is very, very troubling to me. Trump has used some executive expediency to, you know, ship offensive weapons to Ukraine. That's going to just escalate the situation there. You've got, you know, doubling down, saying if Taiwan is attacked by China, we're going to nuke Beijing, essentially, was the insinuation to that threat. And you've got assassination attempts against Iran and Israel, talking about building a concentration camp to expel all the Gazans. It's just like everything is ramping up, everything is heating up, and Trump seems to be at the center of it and encouraging all of it and perpetuating all of it. And you've got UK and others talking about going to, you know, getting on direct war footing with Moscow. And, you know, for the last year or so, every country in Europe has been telling its people, hey, get ready. Get ready for war. And, you know, we might have to institute a draft and make sure you've got 72 hours of food prepared. The worst comes to worst. So, I mean, they're still trying to, you know, expand this into a wider continent wide war. And it's just stupid. It's just stupidity. And of course, Lindsey Graham is enjoying it quite a bit. But I want to go to clip number 29 here. After all, he's meeting with Root, the NATO alliance, and the NATO alliance, as far as I'm concerned, like kind of doesn't actually exist. It's just America. It's just America. And we sort of like get the Europeans to co-sign whatever we're doing, but they don't actually have armies or armaments. Like they don't provide the money for NATO to be sufficient and, you know, operate as their collective military. They also don't have their own individual national militaries. I mean, France and England are the only countries with nukes there, and they got nothing compared to what the rest of us have, U.S. and Russia. They just have nothing. Here's the U.K. military, who, again, is saber-rattling and acting like they're about to go to direct war with Russia, which is absurd. And I do think Russia is running into trouble and, you know, behaving in a way that is very objectionable. One of the things they're doing is they're actually filling the jobs that are empty now because of the, you know, people have been conscripted to go to war. So you got a Russian guy, he gets conscripted, sent to Ukraine. Now they're bringing in 1 million Indians to fill those jobs. They're literally sending their own people to die in Ukraine and then replacing them with Indians, which is pretty horrific. Not a great, patriotic insist. I mean, why not just hire the Indians and send them to Ukraine? It would make more sense. It's crazy that any of this is happening, but it is all insane. And Europe acting like they're going to get in war with Russia is just delusional. Here's the UK talking about their military capabilities right now.
Spending. And Britain, as the Secretary of State said, we've got roughly 1,000 troops in Estonia. What kind of numbers can Britain deploy in 2025 as part of an imaginary NATO coalition? What can we actually deploy? And we've mentioned 1,000 troops so far. We've got that. What else can we deploy?
So would you like to have a conversation about the coalition of the willing work?
No, just the question, question I'm asking you.
Yeah. Okay, so I think as the Secretary of State has said, I don't think it's appropriate that I talk about the detail of numbers. But as part of the wider NATO plans, what has been asked of us in the NATO force model, we're delivering against the commitments that we need to at the appropriate scales over the next couple of years. We'd be the first to say we, of course, would be ready to fight, but we'd also say and acknowledge that there are risks in our ability to do that.
And of course, that doesn't even mention the fact that your homeland is now filled with hostile foreigners just waiting to overthrow your native population. So, yeah, a bit of an issue there. Bit of an issue. I think they have like 100 tanks. I think they said they had 100 tanks. So, 1,000 people, 100 tanks. That'll take on the Russian military, right? It's just absurd. We're going to go out to your phone calls now. I've just delivered this. I saw this on X. Former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett denies conspiracy theories linking Jeffrey Epstein to Mossad. Oh, okay. So a case settled then, I guess. Oh, gee, if the, I mean, perpetually honest Prime Minister of Israel says it, I guess it has to be true. Because, you know, if Epstein did work with Mossad, obviously he would come out and say that, right? Obviously. The Prime Minister of Israel, I mean, we all expected him to come out and say, yeah, that was us. Epstein and Mossad and Israel, our country, was running a giant blackmail ring and trapping all of your most powerful politicians into having sex with children and getting it on tape so we could bend them to our will. Obviously, he's going to admit that if that's true, right? Literally less than worthless. Yeah, and by the way, ask the other former prime ministers about Epstein. I'm sure you'll get honest answers there too, right? You, Barack, met with Jeffrey Epstein dozens of times. Of course, after he was convicted, by the way. Lived in his house for a while. Crazy conspiracy theories. Epstein's conduct, both the criminal and the merely despicable, has nothing whatsoever to do with the Mossad or the State of Israel. I'm sure. No, I'm sure. Totally. No, we're just imagining that. Why even say this? Why even come out and say this? Nobody believes you. Yeah, nobody believes you. So you just don't. I just wouldn't even. What? Okay. Amazing. Instead of issuing threats on social media, why don't you sit down for a rational interview on Jeffrey Epstein's ties to the Israeli government? The former TV personality taunted, "We'll reach out to your office this morning." That's hilarious. So, I guess who was that? That sounds like it must have been Tucker. Yeah, Carlson. Carlson hit back at Bennett on X saying, instead of issuing threats on social media, why don't you sit down for a rational interview on Epstein's ties to the Israeli government? Yeah, do that. Do that, Mr. Bennett. Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Israel. If this is such an absurd conspiracy theory, maybe sit down with Tucker Carlson and explain how absurd all of this is. It's like, do they really think we're that stupid? I mean, that can't be it, is it? Epstein never worked for the Mossad. The accusation is a lie being peddled by prominent online personalities such as Tucker Carlson pretending to know things that they don't. I mean, we can just, I don't even like feel the need to respond to this because it's just, what's the old claim? Assertions without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. He says that he didn't work for him. Well, I say he did. So there you go. You have more motive to lie than I do. Man, it's just, I guess it's just anti-Semitism. It's all this anti-Semitism that's causing all of this. It's not the fact. It's not the reality. It's not the condition that we actually find ourselves in of having Mossad just, you know, run blackmail rings and get away with anything in this country. Not like they got caught putting Stingray spy devices outside the White House in 2017 and nothing happened to them. It's not like we are under constant reminders, like we're just experiencing over and over again the power that Israel has to warp America to its will. It's not like we just bombed Iran for no freaking reason because Israel wanted us to. They didn't even provide an excuse that time. They were just like, Israel wants us to bomb Iran, so that's what we're doing. And we're just going to ignore all of that, claim all that's anti-Semitism, claim it's absurd that Mossad is working, or that Jeffrey Epstein was working for Mossad, and that they would definitely tell us if he was. Just. They're panicking. I mean, the good news about this is they're panicking. You know, I mean, the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Israel doesn't acknowledge something like this and make a statement like this if they don't think it's absolutely necessary out of sheer panic because the despicable and mafia-like control that Israel and the Jewish lobby has on American politics is becoming an existential issue for the chosen people. So, they're scared. They're scared that the truth is coming out. It was a great meme I saw yesterday. It was a quote from somebody, but it's pretty simple. It was Kant, Immanuel Kant. If the truth shall kill them, let them die. That's how I feel about Israel. If the truth about their activity causes everybody to hate them, then they should be hated, and you should hate them. If the love and support they enjoy is dependent entirely on a giant facade of lies, then tear down the facade and destroy them. Now to your calls. Now, Darla in San Diego, go ahead. You're on the air, line two.
Hi, my thought about this pardon situation, what if it's a money-making idea? What if you're paying a fee so that they'll accept your application, maybe $1,500 or something, and then maybe on a monthly basis you have to pay a fee to have them keep calling and trying to get your person out of prison or jail. I mean, he pardoned 2,500 people on January 17th.
It could be a lot of money.
Another way. Yeah. They could be using this to fill their pockets because, I don't know, what do you think of that?
I think that's absolutely what they could be doing. I mean, that would not be unprecedented. I mean, selling pardons would be a very lucrative business for somebody with the power to do it. And look, it's like, at least then there would be a reason for them doing it, right? At least if it was like, well, we were making lots of money. It's like, okay, you were selling pardons. That makes sense. Otherwise, what's the excuse of letting out thousands of criminals onto the street? It's almost like, I hope they're getting paid, because then at least they would have a reason other than just the wanton destruction of America, other than just wanting violent criminals to be out on the streets and pardoning them to put them in your neighborhood. Like, I hope they're getting paid for that. Otherwise, it's just out of pure spite. Otherwise, just a pure act of spite and, you know, destruction. But I hope they were getting paid. Otherwise, they're just, you know, at least then they'd be greedy and evil, not just evil. At least there'd be some reason for their evil. I don't know if that helps, but it's certainly a good thought. Thank you for that, darling. Thank you for holding. Let's go to Christopher in Tyler, Texas, I guess. Christopher, thank you for holding, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. How's it going this morning, my fellow Houstonian brother?
It's going quite well. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, yes. I have a new theory on the whole Jeffrey Epstein kick. I think he's an alien.
Oh.
I think that's what, you know, it's almost like the Bush funeral when he handed out the notes at the very end and everybody was like, had that shocked look on their face. It was like a letter went out. And we got to tuck it away like the UFO stuff. You know, we got to keep this. And, you know, and obviously his island would be the UFO station where he would go and take off and, you know, have his interdimensional fun, so to speak.
You should be an advisor to the Israeli prime minister, I think. I think that's a more believable story than what I just read from Prime Minister Naftali. You know, Bennett or whatever his name is. Yeah, they should, you know, not only does he not work for Mossad, he is a space alien with green skin wearing a mask. That very believable stuff about Jeffrey Epstein. Thank you for the call, Christopher. We're running out of time here, coming to the end of the show. I'm very glad to be back. I do encourage everybody, please go to the alexjonesstore.com/Harrison to show your support. We're going to be covering weather manipulation. We're going to be covering the violence from the left, which deserves to be a major topic on every right-winger's platform, even more so than Epstein. So we'll get into that later this week. We have a lot still to cover. Stay with us. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show begins at 90 seconds, and we'll see you here tomorrow for the American Journal.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.